Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. We will be fuel for fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Cara. Please keep that passage open in front of you as I speak to you, and it will be helpful if you do that. Well, are you ready for Christmas? Only 20 shopping days left. If you haven't baked your Christmas cake, it's too late. Christmas cards in the post? Have you found any Christmas present on your children's must-buy Christmas present list that you can actually afford? Will they get what they want or what they deserve? Or is it the same? Will there be gladness and joy on Christmas morning as gifts are unwrapped, or conflict and strife? Well, for people in many parts of our world this year, perhaps more than any year before, what they'll be wanting most of all, what they'll be hoping and praying for, is peace. We don't have to look far to see conflict, do we? Even in the communities and on the streets of our own country. When will it end? Can it all end? Peace at Christmas? But peace isn't just for Christmas. Peace can be forever. And that's what I want us to explore this morning. Because God says in our passage that the Prince of Peace will come. The Prince of Peace will come. Now that'll have been a message that was happily received around about 700 BC, especially as in the chapters before this in Isaiah, Isaiah's proclaimed judgment from God. War was coming. Destruction and devastation was coming because God's people had turned away from him. They preferred walking away from him in darkness rather than with him in his light. And judgment was coming. But here in chapter 9, God gives Israel a message of hope. In a world of darkness, light will come. The Prince of Peace will come. And isn't this a message that should be received just as happily today in our world of darkness? Our world needs the light of God. People need the Lord. People need hope, comfort, and peace. But who is the one that was to come and rule forever? Those who were there 700 years later tell us. As recorded in Luke chapter 2, angels appeared to shepherds when Jesus was born. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." That's how they announced the arrival of Jesus as a child. To us, a child is born. And Matthew's in no doubt whatsoever when Jesus starts preaching. We read in Matthew 4 and verse 13, and look at our passage as I read this. Matthew 4:13 says, "Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Matthew has no doubt that in Isaiah 9, Jesus was the one who was promised. He was and is the Messiah, the one God sent to bring salvation, the Prince of Peace. And also the writer of the Hebrews writes, in the past God spoke to us, to our forefathers, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son. To us a Son is given. So here's God speaking through Isaiah 700 years before the light came. Now we speak 2,000 years after the light has come. So let's pray this Christmas that the people walking in darkness today will see that great light. Are we praying that God's light will dawn on those who are fumbling around in darkness today? The light has come. The light's shining. Eyes need to be opened. So let's pray. As I've already said, I want us this morning to focus on the title Prince of Peace. But what do we mean when we talk of peace? Well, there are different types of peace, aren't there? There's peace as in peace and quiet. There's also inner peace, a calmness inside. And then there's the peace that's opposite to war and conflict. And isn't our world just crying out to experience more of all of them? Look around. So many people living with little or no peace in their lives. Running around from one stressful situation to the next. Work, family, future, finance, home, health. Look around. All over the world, there's conflict. Countries so quick to pick up arms against their neighbours. So little peace. And deep down, don't we just long for peace? Don't our hearts ache for a time when we can just live without conflict or worries or stresses of any kind? Living at peace with one another. Wouldn't life be a lot easier? When I was in Liverpool at university, I shared a house with some other students, and we lived in a terraced road, rubbing shoulders with normal people. This particular year, we lived next to a family with 9 children. Peace? You're joking. The musical Grease had just come out with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. You may know it, you may remember it. Well, there was this one line in one of the songs that went, "You're the one that I want, you're the one I really want. Ooh, 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 honey." Not to mention those summer nightites. Constantly, morning and night. Peace, no chance. You're sitting in Cafe Nero, and you're just relaxing, enjoying your cappuccino. Someone's phone rings, doesn't it? Why can't anybody speak quietly anymore when they're on the phone? There's no peace, not even in Nero. And in today's society, we're at the beck and call of everyone and anyone through social media 24/7. We get no peace. Emails, texts, the rest. The phone's never silent. Intrusions we just can't ignore, can we? They may be important, that one. It's an addiction. There's no peace. We feel we just can't find peace in this world. It all adds to the stress and anxiety inside us, doesn't it? We're never at peace. There's always some noise which disturbs us, always some stress or concern robbing us of peace inside. Where can we find peace? He will be called the Prince of Peace. So what does the Prince's Peace look like? One of the most quoted verses from the Bible must be Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is the Prince's place of peace. Let that verse create a picture in your mind. Lying down, at rest, knowing the good shepherd caring for you, relaxing beside a gentle flowing stream, no rushing about. Peace. Psalm 4 and verse 8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Here's the Prince's peace, being able to sleep well at night because we know we're safe in him. The Prince's peace means being safe, secure in his care. And from the day we're born until the day we leave this world, this is what we want, this is what we need, isn't it? A place where we feel safe, a place of peace. None of this fake ideology so prevalent at the moment. Do whatever makes you happy. Let the children explore their identity. This will just only cause confusion and insecurity. Show them instead a place of peace, a place of safety, a place of security where they can know the Prince's peace. So where's your peace? Spend time with God. Paul says to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Spend time alone with God. Talk with him. Enjoy that time of quiet. And what does Paul then go on to say? He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's where we need to be. So where's your peace? Is it in Christ Jesus? Our minds need to be at peace. Our minds need to be at peace. According to the Mental Health Foundation, every year in the UK, 70 million work days are lost due to mental illness, including anxiety, depression, and stress-related conditions. Mental illness is the leading cause of sickness and absence from work. Mental fatigue. Our minds are at work, working overtime, all the time we're awake, and also when we're asleep. There's no rest. There's no respite for our brains. There's always something on our minds. We worry about our parents, worry about our children, about our health, our jobs, our future, our homes, our pets, everything. There's just no peace for our minds. The cogs are constantly turning. He will be called the Prince of Peace. So what does the Prince's peace look like? Well, he doesn't just promise peace for the mind. He promises perfect peace. In Isaiah 26:3, listen to this. You, God, will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. The mind of the person who trusts in God will be kept in perfect peace. Isaiah stresses the depth of the peace by repeating the word for peace here. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. In this verse, Isaiah 26:3, we have shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Deep peace. True peace. Paul prays for the church in Thessalonica. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord of peace, the Prince of peace, Jesus Christ, wants to give you peace at all times and in all ways. And he does so when our minds are fixed on him and when we're trusting him. Bible commentator William Hendrickson said, peace is the smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer. That's lovely, isn't it? Peace is the smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer. Peace at all times and in all ways, warming our hearts. Christians are right with God. We have peace with God, and that does us good. Where's the peace? Our peace with America is secure now that Harry and Meghan have become engaged, but around the world there's so much conflict, so many wars. Do the peoples of the world even want peace? Do they even want peace? You'll remember that famous event at Christmas 1914 during World War I, when there was a truce. Men from both sides stopped fighting, shared food and souvenirs, talked and even played football together. But then, just hours later, they went back to killing each other. Still at war. What was that all about? We look at Syria today, don't we? Once thriving cities destroyed beyond restoration. Wouldn't it be better to come to a peaceful solution? Or don't the powers that be want peace at all? Colman McCarthy, an American journalist and peace activist in the last century, said, "Everyone's a pacifist between wars. It's like being a vegetarian between meals." He's right. It seems some leaders have a real and insatiable appetite for war. They don't want peace. They prefer war. Why? I'll tell you why. They love power. They love to think that they're in control. They believe that while they have the power to destroy, they've got total power in their hands. They love power. If that involves war, so be it. He will be called the Prince of Peace. What does the Prince of Peace look like? Verse 7 in Isaiah 9, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." The Prince's peace is linked to the Prince's government. The Prince's peace is linked to the Prince's government, to his reign. Without his government, there can be no true, lasting peace. While we want to govern, while we want to be in control, wherever we want to express our power and self-governing, we reject the government of the Lord Jesus. We reject the Prince of Peace, and his peace is replaced by conflict and war. 19th century British Prime Minister William Gladstone said, "We look forward to the time when the power of love will replace the love of power. Then will our world know the blessings of peace." The power of love needs to replace the love of power. And the ultimate expression of the power of love was when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brought peace with God. He brought peace with God when he died for the sins of the world. That was when the power of love was really shown. God is love, and God showed his love for the world in making it possible for us to come into relationship with him through Jesus' death and resurrection, which we will be thinking of and reminding ourselves about a little bit later on. Paul writes in Colossians 1, verses 19 to 20, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." This is the power of God's love. He reconciled us to himself. He made it possible for our war against him to cease. Jesus brought peace with God as he died on the cross. True peace comes when we have peace with God, not until then. When we submit to his government and rule, then we'll know the blessings of peace, peace with God. It comes when we stop governing our own lives, and in relationship with God, we submit to his. But this will never happen in this world, because there'll always be selfish, power-seeking people. People who deny God's existence and so won't accept his government. There'll never be peace on earth while man refuses to accept the being, authority and the power of God. How can there be? How can there be peace while the creation, man, is at war with its creator, God? How about you? Are you at peace with God this morning? There's so much potential for conflict in life, isn't there? Noisy neighbours, self-seeking colleagues and bullying bosses, disagreements in our family, worries. You may be at peace today, but what about tomorrow? I tell you, there can be no lasting peace if you're in conflict with God. You know if you're in conflict with God, if you're not under his government, if you're not going his way, if you don't know him. No Jesus, no peace. No prince, no peace. But there is good news. There can be peace for those who do recognize the being, authority and power of God. This peace only comes when we recognize and accept that the government is on his shoulders. The government is on his shoulders. How can we receive and know the Prince's peace, the peace of God? How can we know and receive the Prince's peace, the peace of God? Well, to start with, we need to know what this peace is that Isaiah is talking about, because the biblical Hebrew word shalom means much more than just a quiet life. Our royal princes have concerns for the people of our country, don't they? Prince Philip introduced the Duke of Edinburgh's award scheme. Prince Charles, the Prince's Trust. Prince William's been active in highlighting mental health issues. And Prince Harry's championed the needs of the disabled and injured war veterans. All very commendable. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is concerned with much more than these things. The word shalom talks of total well-being, completeness, wholeness, safety, security, and therefore peace of the whole person. Jesus came to save sinners and give life in all its fullness. He came to seek and save the lost. If you're lost, don't you want to be found? He came to heal the sick. Who wouldn't want to be fully healthy? To those who are hungry, he offers food. To the thirsty, he gives drink. He came to make our joy complete. He came to make the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk. He came to set the prisoner free. He came to make us complete in every way. He came to offer us shalom, peace, perfect peace, wholeness in every way and at all times. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. If we want to know peace, we need to know the Prince of Peace. Praise God, he's made a way for us to be in relationship with him. The prophet Micah prophesies at the same time as Isaiah that the Messiah would be born of a virgin in a town called Bethlehem. He writes about the one who will be the ruler of God's people. He writes, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. He will be their peace. Micah 5 and verses 4 to 5. We can't know perfect peace, wholeness, without knowing Jesus, because he is our peace. And you can only know Jesus by turning to him, being sorry for rebelling against him. Receive his forgiveness and be saved. Paul writes to the Ephesians, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace. Ephesians 2:13-14. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says Jesus is our peace. Know Jesus, that's K-N-O-W, know Jesus, know true peace. This isn't ordinary peace. We read in John 14:27 recently, didn't we? Jesus speaking to his disciples before going to the cross. He said, peace I leave you, My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. This is peace that only Jesus can give. Only the Prince of Peace can give. My peace, he says. He tells his disciples in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You can even know this peace in the midst of troubles. There will be conflict, because there are those who will always reject that the Prince of Peace reigns. But know his peace, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard our hearts, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. There's no one else who can give such peace. He himself is our peace. Even in the midst of the storms of life, remember, he's the one who calmed the sea. In times of trouble, we can rest in him. He's our peace. Someone said, the peace of God means being grateful for his past mercies, being conscious of his present mercies, and being certain of his future mercies. That's true peace. If you've known God's loving dealings with you in the past, if you know his presence with you now, if you have the hope of eternal life in you through Jesus Christ, then you'll know the peace of God. Trusting in the Father, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. But we're still looking forward to perfect peace to come. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We celebrate because he's the one who came to save us, to bring us peace with God. We celebrate that his government's begun. It's begun. But we've yet to see his government in full completeness. The verses in Isaiah say, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. His government and peace will increase. We know there are many who refuse to accept Jesus' government over them, and so there's conflict between God and man. But there is a time coming when the government of King Jesus will be complete. We read in Revelation 21, and I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The government will be on his shoulders. His rule, Isaiah 9 verse 7 tells us, will be just, right and good. His kingdom a world of righteousness and peace. If we are governed by God's will in this life, we'll enjoy his government forever. Peace. Perfect peace. All conflict done away with. Man reconciled to God. No more wars, no more death, no more pain, no more tears. Is that what your future holds? Does your heart long to know the peace of God that exceeds our understanding? Well, this is God's promise to you. Accept the Prince of Peace as governor in your life. Stop trying to govern yourself. He'll do a much better job. He'll be your peace. Now, in the daily ups and downs, but forever. Forever in relationship with him. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. To us, to me, to you. Have you accepted the gift of God that we celebrate at Christmas? Do you know the Prince of Peace? Do you know his peace? The peace that knows that God's for us and works all things for our good. Even the things that aren't pleasant at the time, knowing as the writer to the Hebrews did that such times of discipline produced a harvest of righteousness and peace. Hebrews 12 verse 11. Do you know peace with God through Jesus? Do you know the peace of God in Jesus? How is it with you? Know the Prince of Peace. Know the peace that only He can give. Let's pray.